Hello, dear listener, it's Daniel. Now, before we get to this episode, just want to remind you, me and Core just launched a Patreon. For $7 a month, you can get exclusive content. Now, how do you sign up for said exclusive content? Well, we made it easy. There's a link down in the show notes, or go to patreon.com/litdpod. We'll see you soon. Now, let's get to today's episode.
There's something about dream life that's adventurous. It truly is the most exciting thing to hear from the Lord and understand that you can continue hearing from Him, you can talk to Him, you can ask Him questions, you can be honest and real. I mean, David poured out his heart to the Lord and cried out all the things, you know, and we can do that with Him. He's that personal. It really is all tied to the soul versus the spirit, and learning that it is the Word of God that's alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword that pierces even to joints and marrow and is able to separate soul from spirit and even knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So there is this time with Him where the Word is no longer words on parchment, but it's living and becomes part of us. So that's why you hear often of children who have nightmares, because especially if you have a calling to see in the spirit, if your calling and your gifting is related to that, to being able to follow the Holy Spirit, hearing and seeing, we all are called to that. The enemy will target children with fear, because fear will keep you from seeing. It can actually become a blockage that will keep you from dreaming.
Welcome, truth seekers, light bearers, and the lost to the Light in the Darkness podcast.
We hope this show can shed some light on whatever leg of the journey you're on. We are your hosts. I'm Corey.
And I'm Daniel. Welcome back, everybody. Does your water bottle seem bare? Is the back window of your car naked? And do you need something randomly sticking on a guitar case or the back of your laptop? Perfect. Perfect. We have just the thing for you. And for a first-time donation, we'll send just the thing for you in the form of a sticker. We'll send it right to your front door.
These lovely 3.5-inch by 3.5-inch stickers, they're made out of polymer or something of the like.
Kevlar, crocheted, ceramic, acrylic, and I think we have some balsa wood. Actually,
ooh.
Yeah, floats well, breaks easy.
We splurged on these stickers.
You can build a great class project bridge out of it and then test it. But if you would like one of these lovely, lovely multi-surface and material stickers, you can go to litdpod/support and click the donate button, and we'll get one right to you. Now, on today's episode, we have Bridget Lemos. We are going to take a walk in the dreamscape, folks. A walk on the wild side, if you will. Core, you got a couple more details for him?
Bridget Lemos is one of the staff members over at Morningstar Church, and I had the great pleasure of sitting down and hearing her do a class, or a lesson, I suppose, on dreams and dream interpretation. From that very moment, I knew we had to bring her on the show. And it finally worked out. So Bridget is coming on to tell a little bit of her testimony about how the dreams began, about how she started seeing significance in her dreams and how the Lord led her down the path of interpretation thereof. And then Daniel at the end drops a couple dreams on her, and she actually provides some pretty amazing interpretation for them. So without further ado, let's dream on, baby. Let's get to it.
And welcome, Bridget, to the show.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you.
It's good to be here.
Now, we're going to get into some really cool stuff today. breaking down dreams. And before we get to that, we have a little tradition here. We like to go back to the very beginning because that's a very fine place to start.
Yes.
So please tell us about your spiritual atmosphere growing up in the home. Did you guys go to church? Did people operate in the gifts? Or maybe the opposite? Some people were into dark stuff. Just paint that picture for us.
Okay. Well, my paternal grandfather was a Assemblies of God pastor. And so growing up, we went to his church until I was in sixth grade. So I regularly saw people being healed, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. My own mother actually would interpret tongues and speak in tongues in church services. I remember specifically my grandfather praying for a lady. I must have been around the age of maybe six, and she had one leg that was shorter than the other leg. I was very curious about spiritual things when I was a kid because I was always seeing, this sort of shouting and worship environment in my church, and I was just sensitive to the spirit. And so I remember standing at the front altar and my grandfather praying for her and literally watching her leg grow. And that impacted me so much. As a kid, I never questioned whether the Lord heals. Of course, you see that, and you know that if he ever healed once, he heals. And so we would see all sorts of things, just and there was never sort of a question of whether this is real or not. I just kind of grew up in that environment. So, like I said, through the sixth grade, that was the church that I went to. My mother has a very deep relationship with the Lord, a profound relationship with the Lord that was very important part of my life. And so when I walked through whatever, throughout my adolescence, she gave me just super important guidance. She helped me understand the things of the spirit. I would go to her with questions. The summer after my sixth grade year, my parents divorced and we moved to another part of Mississippi, which is where I'm from, and changed churches to a charismatic church at that point. And then was at that church throughout my middle school and high school years. At that point, once she remarried, which was several years later, I was introduced to sort of the Word of Faith movement. Benny Hinn was someone who was on TBN a lot. Carlton Pearson back in those days was another one that I watched. Kenneth Hagin. And so moved sort of into reading books. I read Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn, would watch them on television. I don't know, this was just something I was drawn to, just, seeing people's lives changed, anything prophetic, anything healing. And then, I remember being in ninth grade, sitting in my living room, just kicking back after school, watching VHS tapes of Carlton Pearson just preaching till he was, sweating. And so anyway, that was, just a big part of my life. I remember dreaming during those years. I remember during my, once my mother remarried, my stepfather had a real, he had just come into really understanding the things of the spirit and was becoming very interested in church history. And he studied people like William Branham, A.A. Allen, and some of those guys. And so I was introduced to those ministries, old tapes, and messages, and really started to have more conversations about my dreams, what they meant. Prophecy was became more of something that I was watching and seeing. Through Benny Hinn and through these Word of Faith, you saw a lot of healing, and this embracing of healing and things like that, but less prophecy. It wasn't really the focal point. And then, so as I came into my high school years, I really started to become more interested in prophetic things. And then I read Rick Joyner's book, which was given to me by my mother. I actually read that, I believe that was my first year in college, but my high school years and college years is where I moved into more being interested in prophetic understanding and things like that, really digging into my dreams more. Again, I said that I read Rick's book my first year in college, and when I read that book, The Final Quest, it was like, this is my language. This is like the language of my heart that I never knew that I had, you know. It spoke to such a deep place in me that even changed my decisions. At the time, had begun dating a guy, the first relationship I had ever been serious in, and was on track to marry this guy. And when I read that book, I said, I've got to get out of this. This isn't the Lord. I knew just by reading that book, which isn't anything to do with marriage or dating, but it was like something was so deeply reawakened in me or touched in me that I knew you have to get serious about what is your purpose, what is your calling, what are you supposed to do, and this isn't it, you know. It was just like that, just I knew. And so I immediately, when I went back to university, broke that relationship off. And so, yeah, then I went to a Christian university in Oklahoma, which was very word of faith, predominantly. Speakers that would come in were word of faith. And so, but I really had a personal journey then with the Lord that was a consistent communication, an ongoing communication. And by this time, I was really starting to understand my dreams more and become very hungry for the things of the Spirit in a different way than maybe I had been before, where I understood no longer like this is something for me to watch, but now this is something for me to do in everyday life. And this is available, you know. And when I read about Rick Joyner's encounters, I'm telling you, it spoke to the deepest place in me. This is what I've been hungry for my whole life, to see the Lord and to know Him. And so, yeah, that's kind of my, and then I went on to work for Him later and still do.
So you started out like knee deep in it, like it's all around you in your family. I mean, it wasn't like you just stumbled into a church. You were born into this. Your support system was all about it. That's awesome. And then as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, He starts talking to you through dreams. What were some of the first dreams He really started laying on your heart, and what was He telling you through them?
Yeah, I remember, let's see, I remember having a dream. I think I was in maybe 10th grade when I had this dream. I was in my high school years, and I was, the highway that we lived off of was called Highway 45. And in the dream, I was in a car with the Lord, but it was invisible. I was in a vehicle that was invisible, and we were going up Highway 45. And as we're going, we just start lifting up into the air. And then all of a sudden, we're way above the earth. And I'm now, we're flying, and He has on this brown cape, and I'm on His back, sort of like, remember the never ending story, the flying dog, and they're on that, you know, it was kind of like that.
Falcor.
Yeah. And I can see the earth from way up, and the continents on the earth were outlined in lights. It was like I could see from really far, like space, but it was dark space, and I could see the earth from really high, and I was on the Lord's back. And I don't, that was it. That was the dream. And so that profoundly impacted me. And I think a lot of times in dreams, there's something imparted. There's a message, but there's also something imparted in some dreams. And I feel like that was one of those where it was a deep hunger to fly, to understand the things of the spirit, to function from my spirit, man, and to know the Lord like that. I mean, to fly and to be in a position with the Lord where you're on his back is such a personal place, you know? And so I just felt like, I feel like that dream was one of those where that hunger was, a deeper hunger was imparted.
That's beautiful. And I'm profoundly thankful that the vehicle was invisible, because Daniel's a car guy and he'd be asking you for every detail.
I knew it.
Every detail about that car.
I was saying in my mind, it's got to be Wonder Woman's car. It's invisible, because she's got a plane that's invisible. So she must have an invisible car.
Just running through your list of invisible vehicles.
I knew it. I knew you couldn't let it go. So you had this like sweet language with the Lord, though. Like, he's just meeting you in your dreams. I mean, I know the few times I've dreamed, I'm like, wow, that's so cool, Lord. But this was just happening to you kind of on the regular back then.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Really cool. I think it was, you know, I don't really know the end of it all. I don't know the whole, what it looks like when it unfolds. But I think it was part of the Lord awakening in me a hunger for something that I'm called to at its most basic level. We're all called to, which is that intimacy with him, the spirit life of walking with him. But yeah, I mean, it stirred in me just a real appreciation for adventure. There's something about dream life that's adventurous. It truly is the most exciting thing to hear from the Lord and understand that you can continue hearing from him. You can talk to him. You can ask him questions. You can be honest and real. I mean, David poured out his heart to the Lord, you know, and cried out all the things, you know, and we can do that with him. He's that personal. And I think it was just awakening that in me, a reality that this is available. There's an invitation in this, you know. If you come up here, you know, it's available. So it was really cool to do that. I was able to find like a friend here and there in college that was had the same interests of maybe, you know, I remember one specific person comes to mind. She was also a dreamer, and we kind of secretly found that out about each other, you know, and then we were really excited to talk dreams together. So it's like a discovery. There's a discovery in it. There's an adventure in it. And the real joy of that is that in each of those dreams, in each of those encounters, in each of those talks, you're seeing more of him, whether it's in that person, because they're sharing something he said to them, or, you know, something he's showing them, or whether it's personal, you know, in your own thing, you know, you're seeing more of him each time. So
is your primary prophetic vehicle or method dreaming?
If you had asked me that a year ago, I would have said yes. And I do think it is still, you know, one of the primary ways the Lord speaks to me. But one of the journeys he's had me on, or the season that I'm in, it's like he's letting me see more while I'm awake now. And to some degree, dreaming has taken a back seat. And I prayed that, Lord, let me know your voice more. I want to know your voice. Your sheep hear your voice and they follow you because they know your voice. And so after a season of really praying that more and consistently, I started to really, I've started to kind of see more and then recognize that I'm seeing something or hearing the Lord or know something, you know. There have been times where I'll think something, you know, if I'm talking to someone about them. And then in the course of the conversation, I found out that that's true, or that's actually a reality. And in that journey and in that process, I've been learning his voice more. That this was him showing me this. I had no outward reason to know that. And then even just in my time with the Lord, where I'm spending time with him, I'll see things in the spirit and write them down and study the scriptures that are related to that, those images. So I do think Dreaming is still part of my life. I do still dream. I have recent dreams that I've had. But I feel like I'm wondering if this is like how it works. You know, you see in dreams when your mind is not as involved, and then you start seeing in your waking hours. And, you know, so I think it is like a progressive seeing.
How did you come about knowing how to break these down? Because he was talking to you when you were in college. He was laying all these dreams on you. Was this him honestly just giving you words of knowledge in your spirit? Or were there people in your life who could teach you how to break these down? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who are like, how did you figure it out? What was the key? What was the trick?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, there were people who helped me. I grew up around prophetic people once I was in high school and college. Like I said, my mother remarried. My stepfather was studying church history and becoming acquainted with prophetic people. And one of those people became an important person in my life. There was a prophet named Bob Jones, who was part of, he became a friend of my parents. They traveled with him a lot and wrote some of his revelation in a little booklets every year called The Shepherd's Rod. But during that time of my life, he would be at our house, or when I would come home from college for holidays, he would be around, or during the summer. And I would have these conversations with him. He would help me understand my dreams. He would say, "What you been seeing? You know, what you been dreaming?"
That's so cool. And
yeah, it was really cool. It was actually, you know, just amazing that I had that opportunity, and I'm so grateful for it. And there were key moments in my life that he was able to help me understand what I was seeing, you know, understand my dreams, and also understand how the Lord speaks. You know, pay attention to, you know, what you're feeling on your hands, what you're seeing, what color you're seeing, you know, or, and so I think a lot of that stuff, you just, you know, we would just be doing life. We would be in the living room and talking, or over a meal, or driving in the car. But those things stay with you, because each piece of information and understanding that, you know, helps you along the way. And then you take that with you. It's like a toolkit, you know, and, so he was instrumental for sure. Even later, after I graduated and was married, and up until he went to be with the Lord, he was a friend of our family and speaking into our lives and helping us always. And I will often dream he'll show up in my dreams now, and I know that his race is tied to mine somehow. I think it's like that great cloud of witnesses scripture. Actually, I made reference to that earlier, but, you know, where it talks about the heroes of the faith, and then it says that apart from us, they died not yet receiving the promise, that apart from us, they wouldn't have their race complete. And so I think, you know, there's certain people who've carried something and helped so many on their spiritual journey, whose race is tied to ours, you know. And I do think they're part of that great cloud of witnesses that gets to watch our race. And I think that that's why he shows up in my dreams sometimes. And I see, in fact, I had a dream recently. I don't know if you want me to share of him.
We love Bob Jones stories.
Okay, great.
Go for it.
Great. This was actually probably a year ago. And I was in the dream. I saw a congregation of people. It was like rows of people. And this was one of those dreams that seemed like Morningstar, but didn't really look like it totally. They were watching something, but I couldn't see. It was invisible, but it was a congregation. And Bob walks in. He's wearing a red shirt, and he shimmies down the row. It wasn't like the front row or anything, and he's shimmying down the row like you would in a big crowd. And he makes his way down the row to his seat, and then he sits down to watch whatever this congregation is watching. And then the strange thing is, I had this dream over, I think it was three times over and over, the same scene. I'm watching a group, a congregation. Bob comes in, he's wearing a red shirt, he shimmies down the row, sits down. The third time, Viola was with him. Viola was his first wife. and they're both wearing a red shirt. They both shimmy down the row and come to their seat and sit down and start watching. And all of a sudden, in the dream, I knew that Bob had already gone to meet the Lord. I knew that he was here from heaven. And I start saying that after that third time, Bob is here, you guys. Bob is here. It's Bob, you know, because I'm just shocked, silly that he's here. And I know that he's no longer on the earth, you know. And then the dream ends. And I think that's what I was seeing. You know, that great cloud of witnesses that gets to watch our race. I believe that. And he had an investment, you know, not just in my life, but many others like me, that where he helped. I know of so many people who he helped along the journey in the same way, where he spoke and taught and prayed and, you know. So, yeah, there's something really unique about that. And he's also tied to the prophetic history of Morningstar. And I think maybe that's why it seemed like that in the dream. So, and the future, of course. So.
Like I said, we love Bob's stories. Listeners, if that name is scratching at the periphery of your mind and you're not sure who we're talking about, go back to episode 16. Bridget just mentioned his first wife, Viola, but we had a lovely opportunity to sit down and interview Miss Bonnie for a two-parter, episode 15 and 16. But in 16, she specifically talks about her marriage with Bob Jones. So that'll be a good one for you. So you're in the process now of you've dreamed for a lifetime, and now you are starting to catch things from the Lord while you're awake. And I think if you can boil anything down, it's the Lord speaking, whether you're awake or you're asleep. How has that transition been for you, recognizing his voice when you're awake versus when you're asleep? What are the similarities in his voice when you're sleeping and when you're awake?
Yeah, good question. I think the biggest issue, first of all, that's helped me to make that transition, because I should have made it earlier, has been just really the process of renewing the mind. You know, I think the reason why everyone seems to dream, at least at some point, some more frequent than others, and I think that it's so easy to hear in your sleep because your mind is less involved. And so I started really going after getting into the secret place with the Lord every day and waiting on him instead of having it be just a time where I'm thanking him and then asking for things or praying for people or whatever. In that transition, it's changed so many parts of my life. So that process of renewing the mind is what has brought that transition. And then it should have been sooner in my life. You know, I feel like I spent a lifetime just dreaming. And then his voice is familiar to you when you see it and everything, but your mind is what gets in the way. So you will think in your waking hours that you mistake his voice sometimes for just your thoughts. So I think it's the biggest difference between the two is that you have to learn when it's you and when it's him. And that's the challenge, right? When is this really just me? And when is it, how do I know if it's his voice? And the answer is just knowing him or spending time the same way that a marriage works. How you get to know someone intimately in marriage, you know, you spend time with them and you know, there's a process of intimacy where you know that person so well that you know their touch now, you know their tone, you know their any slight movement they make, you recognize, you know, if you're in a social setting or you're whatever it is, it's that way where, you in the waking hours of hearing his voice, you then begin to learn how to get your mind out of the way and look for those familiar things that you know of him with that where you've spent time. So it's hard to say. It's hard to put in words, but the difference is the mind. The difference in the two is, you know, really learning how your mind gets in the way and how to get it out of the way, how to flow in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to break into moments without that hindering and hindering your hearing. You learn so much about yourself, because once you start realizing, you know, what it is about the mind that's getting in the way of that, you realize, wow, like, I really need to chill, you know, I really need, boy, I have issues, you know. And so you learn, you know, kind of like, that's me, actually, you know, and that was the Lord, and I should have caught that, or I knew. So I'm kind of fumbling the ball here on trying to explain or answer your question, but the best way I know how to say it is that it really is all tied to the soul versus the spirit. And, you know, learning that it is the word of God that's alive and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, that pierces even to joints and marrow, that's the deepest places, and is able to separate soul from spirit, and even knows the thoughts and intentions of our heart. So there is this time with him where the word is no longer just something on a part, you know, words on parchment, but it's living and becomes part of us. And in that process of renewing the mind and being with him and waiting upon him, there is a transformation that happens. And the scriptures talk about that, being transformed by the renewing of the mind. There's a transformation that only the Holy Spirit can do. And in that, it translates into your life, where when you begin to see or hear the Lord, then that word of God that's in you is able to separate the mind to you, where you can see now, this is me, this is him. And you start recognizing and catching it quicker. I'm an infant. I'm talking like I'm a grown patriarch in this, but listen, I am a baby, like, just learning this. And so I'm giving you the best answer I can based on my short journey with this.
It was a lovely answer that you just brought that verse to life in such a beautiful way.
Awesome.
On that note, though, we do love stories. And you were talking about just moments where, is that me or is that you, God? What is one of the craziest dreams you've ever had where you were like, that can't be you, Lord, that's got to be me? But he was either letting you know something was going to happen or giving you a word of knowledge, or just a really good, crazy dream story.
I've shared this before, but I'll share it here. One day in that early morning hours where I was spending time with the Lord, I was reading. And I was reading, it's 2 Timothy, where Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, I pray for you night and day, and I'm grateful for the faith that lives in you, that first lived in your grandmother, then in your mother, and I'm now convinced lives in you. And you know how when you're reading something or you hear someone say something about spiritual things, and you stop and just kind of think about that, like, okay, what's he pointing to there? And I don't know, you can break down scriptures like one at a time like that. And I was thinking about, you know, generationally, how that's true, that there are promises that that are available to us, that either our spiritual fathers carried, which I think is the case with Bob Jones. He walked in, you know, some of the things that we're seeing play out around us now. And that's why his journey is tied to ours. Or you, or even your bloodline relatives that maybe had an invitation to carry something, a gift, or a calling that they never really became into awareness of, or had understanding or help to carry. I was thinking about that. I don't know. I can overthink things sometimes, but in this case, it turned out to be the Lord. I went on about my day. It was just one of those mornings, just like every morning where you read or pray or whatever you do with the Lord. Went on, didn't really think about it again. I had a dream that night, and in the dream, Bob Jones shows up, and he's with my grandmother, and my mother is there, and my brother beside me. We're in a trolley car, and the trolley car doesn't have walls. It just has two rows of seats. And it does have a top, but no walls. He's sitting there in the front row, and my grandmother's sitting behind him with her eyes fixed on him. We're on the other side standing, and he's looking at us. I wasn't sure if that was my grandmother, but I knew it looked like her. So I put my hand on her shoulder and asked her who she is. And she turned to me and said, I'm Nanny. So I knew, okay, this is her then. But also with that came the understanding that I was having a dream. And I said, oh, this is a dream. Bob, what does this mean? Because this is what would have happened in real, like, that was my relationship with him. Like, what does that mean? You know? And he said, I saw y'all's anointing, you know, in his Southern accent. And then he told me what it was. And it was a heavenly word. It wasn't something. And I knew that in the dream, like, that this was a heavenly word. And he said it was blue. And when he said that, I thought revelation, because I know that blue can be tied to revelation, represent revelation. And then the scene changed, and I was in a vehicle, and Rick Joyner was driving, and there was someone in the back seat. They were talking, and I start telling Rick about what just happened with Bob. And then when I got to the part of the story about Bob telling me this heavenly word, I said, I don't know this word, but what it means is a combination of wisdom and revelation. And even I didn't, like, I don't know how I knew that. It just, you know how in dreams you have a piece of spiritual information that you otherwise wouldn't have. And it was one of those things. And when I said that, he reaches across me and out of the door beside me takes a notebook and a pen and hands it to me. And it was like, I understood, you need to write this down. You need to study this. Scene changes, and the final scene of this dream happens, and I'm with my grandmother again. And it's just the two of us, and she is going back to heaven, and she has a short window of time to get to this door through which she's going to heaven. But she's walking really fast, and I'm walking beside her, and I'm crying and grieving that she's going back. And I'm telling her all of these memories I have with her, and that I won't forget them. And she's walking, you know, really fast. And I'm grabbing her sleeve and tugging at her, trying to slow her down to acknowledge me. Because for some reason, with the exception of that very first scene where I asked her who she was and she told me, it was like she wasn't permitted to talk to me. And I just knew that. But I also was grieved because there was this part of me that wanted her to stop and have just wait. Like, I promise you, I won't forget when we did this. And I was saying, I remember when we did this, and we were very, very close. And I'm saying these things, and we get to the door. I'm like groaning. I'm grieving in a way that I never did when she passed away. And we get to this door. It looks like an old kind of chipped paint. Normal door. It wasn't like what you would expect a doorway to heaven to look like. I mean, it was very simple. And it was like there were these two beings on each side of the door, and they pulled this door open, and she went through just as like that. She was gone. I mean, she had a window of time to get there. And I just knew that. But when she went through the door, there were these names that went behind her, and they were written in white, and they were in the air. That's the best way I know how to say it. They went through this door behind her. When I woke up, the only name that I could remember seeing was Newman. And somehow I had that knowing that this had to do with the one new man that's talked about in scripture. So this is one of those dreams where something that was going on in the day ended up the Lord talking to me more about it, you know, in a dream. You know, I was just, that was my quiet time with the Lord. And I knew when I woke up that He was answering my heart from the morning before, where I was pondering. And I obviously, He was the one who drew me to even those thoughts. I believe it's the Holy Spirit that draws us. And He was stirring something in my heart about what I had just read and wanted to show me more, but did it in a dream. And I think, you know, Bob walked in that anointing of wisdom and revelation that's tied together, that the scripture puts together in multiple places, you know. The prayer over the Ephesian church, that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, where we see in Isaiah, the seven spirits of God and wisdom and revelation are tied together there. And I think that anointing is being released on a generation to help prepare that one new man, that bride of Christ.
answered my next question too with that last statement, because the whole time I'm getting this poke from the Holy Spirit and it's like, why is dreaming important?
Yeah.
Ask her to talk about why dreaming is important. But with that last statement, preparing this next generation.
Yeah.
I just, whoa.
Yeah. It's really helped me to understand my own life. But I believe what, you know, it was shown to me as a generational thing. My grandmother's generation was represented. My mother's generation was represented. And my generation was represented in that dream. So I do think it's a personal invitation, but I think it's a broader, what I was seeing was for my generation. This is an invitation that we have, you know, and this anointing is available. And so, and I do think that that, you know, that's why you're hearing more. It is, I believe, that pouring out of His Spirit where people are dreaming, prophesying, seeing in the Spirit, and people are stirred and hungry to understand more, because we are called to walk in something that will prepare the bride of Christ.
What would you say to someone who's listening right now, who's like, you know what, I don't dream, but I want to dream. What would you say to them?
I would say ask. And we're told in Scripture, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be open. We're told to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And so that's our permission to go after it, to ask. And I absolutely believe, you know, when you start asking the Lord and seeking Him, He will absolutely open it up. Whatever's blocking, whatever's, you know, keeping us from remembering or whatever it is, He'll remove it and He will show Himself to us. Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
Part of the reason we wanted to bring you on is that we actually had people asking about dreams and if it was still a valid method of the Lord communicating to us today. And of course, I think it's fairly obvious from the whole talk so
far going on
that this is happening, but can you think of New Testament examples of dreams and just the theology? Could you just break down a little bit of that theological why we believe that dreams are still valid methods of the Lord expressing Himself to us?
So obviously the Lord is born, and Joseph is being directed, you know, away from Herod in a dream. I think several times it says an angel appeared to him in a dream and told him, you know, go to Egypt or where to go to avoid the Lord's life being taken. So I think it's definitely, if you look at the entirety of the New Testament, you see that angelic appearances, encounters, visions are all very important part of New Testament life. Of course, the book of Revelation was written from an encounter, you know, where, you know, a vision. And so I think, yeah, it's a matter of, you know, do we believe the Lord still speaks to us this side of eternity and wants us to have spiritual sight? You know, and that's the big obstacle for people. I've heard that people argue that those things when the perfect comes, that those things pass away, prophecy, knowledge, all these things, that this is the scripture that people base that God no longer speaks in that way on. If that is the scripture, you know, I guess people believe that the Bible was the perfect, or I don't know what the perfect is in that theological argument, but knowledge hasn't passed away. I believe that we're still in a time where we hear, we see in the Spirit, it's available. And I think you really see that through the entire New Testament. You know, His Spirit being poured out on the day of Pentecost is for what? You know, it's for having the Lord was the representation of God on the earth until that point. Then when He's gone, the Holy Spirit is now the representation of God on the earth. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And so I think that this, you know, we communicate with His Spirit, spirit to spirit. Part of that is seeing, hearing, you know, and dreams are one way that we see. So at the end of the day, it's do we believe He still speaks this side of eternity? Are we waiting until we're in heaven to hear from Him? I fall. I think you know where I am on it, but
we've got quite a number of episodes to say where we stand on that one.
Yeah,
definitely. Yes, here and now.
Yeah. So that's kind of my answer to that.
So, what are some of, outside of Bob Jones and other key figures and mentors in your life, what are some resources that maybe our listeners may be able to access or get their hands on that have helped you in developing your ability to interpret dreams or to have more dreams or in your journey as a dreamer?
Yeah, I would recommend there is a gentleman who used to pastor our church. His name is Justin Perry. He wrote a book called Adventures in Dreaming, and I believe it's available on Amazon. But that is a great book, I think, for any level. I even gave it to my teenage daughter, but I've also sent it to friends who I know are just becoming curious about dreaming, prophetic things, seeing the spirit. That would be one. I also really love that book, The Final Quest. I felt like it did more. It's a prophetic parable type of a book. It's like a, you know, Lord of the Rings or something. It's like a prophetic version of that. It's what's that considered?
Allegory,
prophetic allegory. And it's, I think there, when you read something like that, you pick up things about, because these things were given in dreams and encounters that were written out. And so you pick up things about how the Lord speaks in pictures. And so you see these scenes play out in the dreams that was written from, and you see the spiritual insight that's gleaned from that. To me, I learn when I read that kind of thing. I learn, okay, and you know, Rick Joyner is someone who I really respect and look up to as a sound biblical, married with a prophetic teacher and prophetic person, apostolic person. So I would recommend that book, but also any of his books that are written from his encounters. I feel like The Path by Rick Joyner was one that really helped me in the same way. And it talks a lot about understanding the things in the spirit realm. And so I think the more that you understand about the things of the spirit, the more you'll understand about your dreams. So, or what you're seeing in, you know, whether it's a dream or a vision.
Now, I know since we started talking about you coming on the podcast, some folks have been champing at the bit to come and bring you some dreams.
Okay.
We're going to do a separate episode with our wives who are going to come on the show and drop some dreams on you and see what the Holy Spirit can spark and see if we can get some interpretations. But my best friend right here also has a couple of them that he's had since childhood and more recent dreams. And we would be remiss if we finished up this here talk without having some of those.
Let's hear it.
Got a couple. Got some ones from childhood that have never gone away. And then a recent one that involves my best friend.
Wow. No pressure. Okay. This is something you carried from childhood. Everything comes to this. I better have something.
So we were at my grandparents' house, which is a really special place. They're both four square gospel pastors and studied under Kenneth Hagin, and a lot of cool stuff has happened at that house. So that's where this is taking place. I'm in the living room, sitting on a couch across from my little sister, and she's like maybe two or three at the time. But even though I've had the dream a couple times since, her age never changed, and neither did mine. So she's on this recliner across from me, and she's standing on it, and all of a sudden it starts to rock, and she's losing her footing. And it is obvious she is about to fall and go straight down onto their floor. And I'm on the couch and I jump straight up, as odd as that sounds. And as I'm falling and then become parallel with the couch, it's almost like my legs turn into frog legs. They bend and then shoot me forward. And as she's falling, I'm able to catch her. And she doesn't actually hit the floor. I then pick her up. She's good. Run into the kitchen where the whole family's gathered, aunts, uncles, grandparents, mom and dad. I'm like, guys, something crazy just happened. And they're like, well, that's great. Good job. All right. And that's where it stops.
Mm. What was your age in the dream?
I'm 6 years older than my little sister. Okay. Or excuse me, 3 years older than my little sister.
Okay. So I think the setting, of course, is important. You know, if this, you said this was your grandparents' house. So, you know, again, generational language happening in this dream. Your parents and relatives are in the kitchen, you said. You and your sister, which are part of the same generation, but you're older, are in the living room. And this is your grandparents' home. So we're looking at three different generations here again. So there's something here that's related to your generation, because this scene that plays out is you and your sister. And so I would think it's safe to say this is one of those promises that we talked about earlier, where there are things that are available to us that we can carry, that is like a spiritual heritage, where Paul wrote to Timothy about, you know, the faith that was in those other generations that now lives in him. And, you know, your sister is about to fall. This can be, you know, a spiritual language of a fall. It can be something tragic that's about to happen. And you're able to break the brunt of her fall. You are able to keep her from being, you know, injured. And so there's a role that you have to play in your generation that you're seeing play out with your sister. So if you can back out on a broader sense of what you're seeing, there's a calling that you have that'll help your same generation. You have a role to play. And you're not necessarily going to get the encouragement for it from those who are closest to you. They're not necessarily going to be aware of it in the way that you're going to become aware of it, and that the Lord's calling you to be equipped and prepared to do, you know, because when you went into the kitchen to say, wow, look what just happened. They're like, yeah, they acknowledged it, but they weren't necessarily cheering you on and giving you what you need to keep, you know, or so, you know, that's really the sense that I get when I heard you share that, it, you know, this is, a generational thing, and there's something that you have to do that's specific.
Okay. That a lot of that resonates close to home. The other one from childhood is quick as well.
Okay.
As a kid, never really slept easy. And was always kind of sensitive to things, but nightmares were a prevalent thing. And in one of them, it's like I shrunk down to the size of one of my toys. And I am running on the floor in my room. I run under my Toy Story bed. And there at the end of one of the bedposts, the knob turns into a skull. And it's watching me, and it's taunting me, and it's calling me names. And then it loses sight of me when I run under the bed. And I'm just sitting under there like, my bed just turned into a skull, and I'm the size of a matchbox car. What do I do? And then I would hide, and then eventually, you know, just dart out of the room when it wasn't looking. And then I'm up. But that was another one that for years would never go away.
Yeah. So the enemy does this with young, you know, with kids. It's a strategy, and it can really shut down your sight, your spiritual sight. So that's why you hear often of children who have nightmares, because especially if you have a calling to see in the spirit, if you have, if your calling and your gifting is related to that, to being able to follow the Holy Spirit, hearing and seeing. We all are called to that. And the enemy will target children with fear, because fear will keep you from seeing. It can actually become a blockage that will keep you from dreaming. And the enemy just does that. And so I think that's what that is, because all the elements that you're seeing, the skull, those are terrifying to kids. Those are things that will cause you to not want to see, to not want to dream. And I've met multiple people who've told me that they had that as children, something similar to what you're telling me, but it would be other elements and other situations. And they're so curious about the things of the spirit. They're coming around where we are to learn more, but they're afraid to dream, and they really don't have even not wanted to. And so I think that that's just a strategy of the enemy to impart fear of seeing. And sometimes that's subconscious. Like I remember I was getting ready to speak about dreams at a meeting, and I was getting ready and I was asking the Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? What do you want? You know, how's this supposed to go? And I just got this knowing that there would be someone there who was in that situation, who was coming because they were hungry for things of the spirit, but at the same time had experienced things in their childhood that caused them to be afraid of seeing the spirit. And I asked at the end of the session, is there anyone here? This is what I saw this morning. This is what I heard. I mean, and a man raised his hand. And so I think this is just something that the enemy does. They had not dreamt their whole life much, you know, because of this fear and this it became a block in their soul. So that's the sense I get from what you're sharing there.
That resonates a lot, because yeah. I remember as a kid, like going to sleep and going, please don't let me dream. Please don't let me dream. I don't want to dream. And that didn't reactivate until a couple months ago. Abby asked the Lord to reactivate her dreams. And, you know, I guess it's the whole covenant thing, residuals, because I started dreaming too.
Amazing.
So with what you're talking about, Bridget, I just really feel stirred that maybe we should do a prayer, whether that be an awakening prayer or an impartation prayer, but just something for our listeners. Yeah. Maybe, dear listener, you are one of those people that used to dream or doesn't dream or doesn't want to see into the spirit, like Bridget is talking about. You know, often on our podcast, we talk about the prophetic, we talk about hearing the voice of God, and maybe there is a block for you stemming from childhood. Maybe you fell victim to this exact same strategy that Bridget is laying out for us of terrifying dreams and nightmares, and it just made you completely shut down. And maybe there's something that the Lord wants to awaken in you again, listener. And Bridget, would you mind just leading us in a prayer for those to have their spiritual side open?
Absolutely. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to help people to speak what you've shown and taught us. I ask you, Lord, that every ear that's listening, that you would open their spiritual ears to hear you, Lord, that whatever blockages the enemy may have placed in their path and as obstacles of their soul, Lord, I ask that you would even right now remove those, that you would reach in by your Holy Spirit, that you would remove those things, anything that stands between our listeners and you, that stands between them hearing you clear, seeing you clear. Lord, I ask that you would take trauma from any experiences or dreams that they may have had, Lord, from encounters or experience of any kind, dreams where trauma was imparted, fear was imparted, anything like that. Lord, I ask that you would just remove that, remove the sting of traumatic dreams and experiences that may have shut them down or blocked them. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would now breathe on them, Lord, that this would mark a new day in their lives, that this day, this moment would mark a change, a turnaround where their hearts became open, their eyes became enlightened, just like Elisha prayed for that servant. Lord, enlighten the eyes of his heart. Lord, I ask that you would do that now. I pray that you would come with your presence, Lord, that's a comfort, that you surround us in a way that only you can, that you would be present with those listening. Even now, Lord, that you would speak to them, that tonight they would go to bed and that they would have dreams from you, Lord, that they would wake up in the morning with a new courage, a new boldness, a new joy that comes from hearing you, that comes from seeing you. And Lord, that every memory would be removed, that the enemy would no longer have access or permission to torment, to taunt. But Lord, that you would shut that completely off, sever it, and that this marks a new day. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bridget. We brought you on to talk about dreams, and I feel like we've talked about dreams and it's been so wonderful. Great. I think this has been more about just God speaking than anything else.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
Awesome. And I have wondered about those dreams since I was a kid. So that was so cool to get some light shed on that.
Wow. I feel honored to be able to say anything that would help. And that's amazing to hear.
Well, I guess you could say that interview was rather dreamy.
Here, Barbara.
No, but we'd like to thank Bridget for coming on and for sharing all of her wealth of knowledge about dreams with us. We actually had an email from a listener asking about this topic, so we knew that it was one that people were wondering about and had questions about, and we see all these kind of things out in modern culture about dreams, so there you go. And we will at some point have a part two coming out where our dear lovely wives sat down with Bridget and just shared some dreams with her, and she did some more interpretation. So be looking for that to come down the pike. Speaking of coming down the pike, we have next one of our favorite things to do here at Light in the Darkness, a little thing we call a shout out.
Shout out!
Take it away, Danny boy.
Today's shout out comes to us from, and I'm going to pronounce this the best I can, it's either Diana Gatta or Deanna Gatta or Getta. Either way, we are appreciative of this review. It says, I was introduced to your podcast by my sister, whom we love, whether she knows it or not, for the record, and I've been hooked ever since. 3 exclamation point.
Exclamation point! Exclamation point! Exclamation point!
Sorry, I hit that button again that exactly reads the text. No, that's fantastic, Diana, and we thank you and your sister so much. God bless her and you. Now, dear listener, if you're out there going, touching the chair again. Now, if you're out there, dear listener, and you're going, I want the guys to read what I'm thinking or what I'm saying, it can happen. You can do it. Go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, and we will read it right here for everyone to hear it. If you'd like to know more about me or Corey or the heart behind the show, you can go to LITDpod.com.
LITDpod.com.
One more time. That's LITDpod.com. And, you know, just get to know us and why we do what we do. If you have a story, a testimony, just something you want us to partner with you in prayer about, you can reach us at litdpod@gmail.com.
litdpod@gmail.com.
litdpod@gmail.com. Now, we love you guys. We thank you for tuning in. We can't wait to do this again next week. Until then, take care, y'all. Now we're just going to have a conversation.
Oh, dear. I forgot about the post-credit. I forgot about the post-music scene on this one.
Are you also wishing we had a Steven Tyler effect for when you said dream on?
No. The double music. No.
Okay. I wasn't a huge Aerosmith fan, but the first song I ever played in my Pontiac was a Sweet Emotion, because they played that in Dazed and Confused. It's not the same when you're driving a Sunfire. It's just not.
Okay, you're taking a hard right turn from that. Let's dream. Let's dream a little bit about merch.
Oh, okay.
We've been talking about this. No promises as to when it's coming, dear listener, but we've been talking about dreams. Although we just talked about dreams. We've been talking about merch.
Did you just have a stroke? What just happened over there? Of genius! No. So I know you wanted to do the Light in the Darkness life jackets.
Yes.
Because of the boating community around here.
Yes.
And then there was the Light in the Darkness flare gun. Normal and nautical. You know, again, the boating community.
It's and going, the self-defense flare gun.
I took the words out of my mouth. Double barrel.
Yes. You know? Yeah, then you can literally put the light in the darkness.
That is fair. Oh, my gosh.
There we go. That's the perfect dyad.
I want that to happen. This is it. A light in the darkness flare gun. Now, I know most of you hearing this, and that's probably three of you who stayed after the episode, are like, I would buy that. I wouldn't even look at the price. I would just click buy because I know where the funds are going, to the kingdom. And, you know, flare guns are cheap, $70-$80, you know.
Oh, yeah. And after we put our little logo on there and mark up that price, you're booking out for a cool two Benjis for your light in the darkness flare gun.
Yep. Two Benjis. Because that's what you say. I've never heard you call them. All right, fine. Fine.
Two racks, my dude.
Oh, dear Lord. Half of a cool G. How about that? Jeez. Light in the darkness. Oh, kitchen trash bags. Scented. Ooh, scented for fall.
What scent would we want?
Pumpkin spice. You know, just something fally right now.
We have to think, though, what are we going to do with that inventory if it doesn't move during fall? We have to think about a year-round kind of smell.
Emma, if they were pumpkin spice, she would buy everyone.
We can't talk about Emma Steele on the podcast. Actually, there's two of them.
I was about to say, it's
there's
funny.
There's two of them.
One name, and we just talked about two people.
Yeah.
How about that?
No, what's a nice year-round scent that would be good? Maybe DEET.
Pine.
I'm just thinking about being out in the woods. DEET.
Yeah.
Pine is good.
You said DEET.
Keep you know, mosquitoes away from your
DDT,
trash.
Right there in the can. Oh, yeah. 80% DEET. You're good. Maybe. No, that's it. We just come up with light in the darkness bug spray.
Oh,
and yes. We'll put unscented because when you have, you know, DEET.
What about light in the darkness glow sticks?
I don't see the connection.